strewing tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers across the road. No, a truck full of salad dressing was nowhere nearby. The good news is nobody was hurt. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jefferson. We're here on this bright and sunshiny day here in the North State. We're loving every minute of it, getting ready to move forward with the court case. And what we're going to do, we're going to jump into it in just a moment. I just wanted to remind everybody here in the Redding area or Shasta County area, we do have our Jefferson meetings on Monday nights, and they're at 5:30. Come learn, listen, find out what's going on, and offer your talent and knowledge and patriotism. And then once we get done with those meetings, then we transition into a Patriot meeting, and that starts at 6 o'clock. And they're held at 3276 Bocelli Lane at the Eagle's Nest Church. Love to have you there. Come check it out and meet some more Patriots and get involved. And we're moving forward. We've got a caller on the line this morning, and Mark Baird, and we're going to go through what's going on with Jefferson, where it started, why it started, and where we are up to this point. So, Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us and helping us out here. So
we might mention that's right.
And
Terry is not here.
Sorry to say, it's a little quieter. Terry's not here today. we'll razz him a little bit. So yeah, Terry's not here today. He's spending some time with family, and deservedly so. So we wish him well with that, and they'll be en route coming home today sometime. So I just wanted to let everybody know that's why Terry's out of the house today. So Mark, what do you got? What's going on?
Well, once again, we're involved in a court case that's going to attack the representative ratios and models in the state of California. What led up to this was the realization by Northern California, and really, quite frankly, should be all of California, that we have no representation in Sacramento, and that the state legislature consistently fails to represent us. They have no empathy for the way we live our lives. We're being taxed to death. We're being regulated to death, and so many things that are so apparent, or should be so apparent to most Californians. And so we started an effort to separate from the state of California using Article 4, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. And that is the article that addresses how to form a new state within the United States. Now, there are a couple of methods to do that. First of all, one of which is forming a new state from territory that was not a state before. For example, the territory of Puerto Rico or the territory of Guam becoming a state. That's one process. And in that process, the appeal is made directly to Congress. There have to be a minimum number of voters. They have to agree to it. Certain other criteria have to be met, and then you apply to Congress, and if Congress agrees, then you become a new state. The other part of Article 4, Section 3 strictly addresses how to create a state from the territory of an existing state or from two adjoining states, and that process is different. By its very nature, because the territory in question is already a state, you cannot create a new state from that territory unless the state legislature that is affected agrees and Congress agrees. So it's a double hurdle in our case. But it was a hurdle we had to try to jump first, because that's the legal process. That's the legal, moral, ethical way to gain our liberty, or to regain our liberty, I should say. Because the state of California, when it was formed by men and women who, and we have these notes. And by the way, I invite the viewers, research what I'm saying. Don't just take it for granted. Don't accept as gospel just anything you heard. If you doubt something, if you want to know more, all this information is readily available, although some of it was pretty tough to get to, I have to admit. But the people who formed this state, and we know because we have the notes and the letters, and we have correspondence between them, we have the documents, so I can prove everything I'm saying. They formed the state of California as Christian men and women who chose to form a state based on Christian values, and that state was formed so that we, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, that to secure and perpetuate its blessings, we do establish this Constitution. In other words, we establish the state of California. So the state of California was established in order to secure and perpetuate liberty. And we've now gone so far the other direction that people who are conservatives, and when I say conservative, I mean those who wish to conserve liberty. That's what Edmund Burke coined the term conservative. And he didn't mean economically, he didn't mean politically. He meant those people who wish to conserve liberty are called conservatives. And so those of us who are conservatives in the state of California now find ourselves vilified. We're vilified by a state government within whom 51% of the representation lies south of the Los Angeles County line to the Mexican border. 51%. So literally less than one-third of the territory of California controls the other two-thirds. And in fact, when you look at the state of Jefferson, the 21 counties that comprise Jefferson, we compromise 38% of the land mass of the state of California, and out of 120 legislators, we have about six. And even those six share parts of California that are not within Jefferson, so they don't even represent us. Tom Donnelly said it best in his affidavit to the court case. He said, I represented more than one county, and I would have to fail to represent one in order to represent the other because often counties have competing interests. And so what we want to do with the state of Jefferson is restore that balance. We want every county to have a state senator. We want every county to have an assemblyman, at least one assemblyman, and we would like it at a ratio of about one for 2,500 people or one for 3,000 people, so that literally your community will know who represents them. And that representative will be held strictly accountable to you and to your community. And if he fails to do his job, it'll be very easy to get rid of him. Now, that means that some communities are going to have wildly leftist representatives. But there will also be communities that have wildly conservative representatives. However, the long and short of it is, if that person fails to represent the values of his community, it will be cheap. An effective way to get rid of him, because the ratio will be small enough that the political campaign will be cheap enough that pretty much anybody who is willing to do that job and do it honestly and do it well could replace that crook. That's what we don't have in California. We have one state senator for a million people. You can't possibly get rid of these guys. It costs too much money. No one has the money to mount a political campaign without big party support, which means your community is unrepresented. No assemblyman can represent 500,000 people. They can't do it. But for you to get rid of that guy is extremely expensive, and without lobbyist help and corporate help and party help, you can't possibly do it. We want to change that, and our court case hopes to do that, because our legislature would not even return a phone call when it comes to state split. So now we've been harmed. We asked for a state split through legitimate means in the legislature. The legislature failed to even listen to the argument, and so now it's time to sue them, and that's what we're doing next.
So now we've got all that up to speed. How do we compare with, you know, this other thing? Okay, we're going to sue, but is it going to happen before this CalExit thing that's going on? How does Jefferson compare to that? How does it get involved with that, or does it? How does it affect it, or does CalExit affect Jefferson? What do you see in that regard?
There are a couple of CalExit things going right now. There's the one CalExit where they want to secede from the United States of America. The state of Jefferson is vehemently and diametrically opposed to secession from the United States of America. We are part of the United States. In fact, in the California Constitution says we are an inseparable part of the United States. And the California Constitution says that the United States Constitution is the highest law of the land. The people of the state of Jefferson want to add a star to the flag, not take one away. And in fact, our official position is that if the state of California in any way, shape, or form by any of its elected officials or constitutional officers supports the secession from the United States, then we, the people of the state of Jefferson, will appeal directly to the United States Congress for state split, because the state, unfortunately, in which we find ourselves will be engaged in insurrection and sedition. So if the government of California engages in sedition or insurrection, and they're dangerously close now with the sanctuary state bill that liar and crook Kevin De Leon is putting forward. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, Kevin De Leon is the president pro tem of the Senate. He has big offices in Encino, California, even though his district is in MacArthur Park. He claims residence in a one-bedroom apartment near MacArthur Park, which I doubt very seriously he lives in. He should be prosecuted for election fraud, but since we live in the Soviet Socialist Republic of California that only has one party, that party, supported by its Soviet attorney general, will never prosecute that guy for breaking the law, the same way that it did not prosecute Kamala Harris for conflict of interest when she had direct ties to Planned Parenthood and yet used her office to prosecute a person who exposed Planned Parenthood for selling baby parts on the open market. I mean, that's the state we live in, folks. Where's your line in the sand, I'm asking? Well, we've crossed ours. So if California supports Cal Exit, we will appeal immediately for state split to the United States Congress. Now, we have a problem here, quite frankly. The Republican Party has a lot less backbone than the Democratic Party does. The Republican Party in California is not going to help us. In fact, no one's going to help us. We, the people of the state of Jefferson, are in this room alone, just as we have always been. We're trying to solicit some help from patriotic local county governments. We hope to achieve that. But if California moves to separate, we will separate from California by any means necessary. Now, the other Cal Exit is the new one. That's the one where they're going to gather signatures to split California east from west. It's backed by Tim Draper again. He didn't learn anything the first time, because there is no way legally to split a state by initiative. It's not constitutional. I don't know why Mr. Draper keeps getting involved in these things, but he does. And if somehow they can force the issue and California splits east from west, well, I assume we'll have an easier time forming the state of Jefferson. But it's not a constitutional process, and therefore it can't succeed. So we find ourselves in the unique position that the people of Northern California, of Jefferson, are going to sue their state to increase representation. And that's our natural course of action next. We have these other courses of action where we're going to challenge the state for sedition and insurrection if that comes to pass, and that may yield a different result. But right now we're focused on the court case.
Okay. Now, with the court case, we have people that are in line for, standing in, saying that their line in the sand is not to be crossed. And those folks are going to be the plaintiffs that are going to be named in the court case. Is that correct?
That's correct. Myself, we're hoping to enlist the aid of one or two county governments, because here's the process in court. The process in court is that we appeal to the magistrate for the Eastern District of California in federal court, and that's just an arbitrary line, and that court is located in Sacramento. So we're going to file a case there, and we are accusing the state of California of lack of representation and dilution of vote, and we're suing the Secretary of State, and we'll name the governor and probably several other parties. But our contention is that when this state was formed, it was formed by Constitution under a representative ratio that gave each state, each county, one state senator, and no county had less than one assembly person. In fact, we had an assembly ratio of one assemblyman for every 2,500 people in 1849 and 1850. In fact, all the way up until 1862, the policy of the state of California was to, as population grew, to expand the number of representatives, and as the number of counties grew, to add state senators. And we stayed that course for several years until 1862, at which point, for some reason, and we believe it was done prejudicially, and we hope to prove that in court, the California legislature decided to cap itself. In other words, the California legislature declared that we will never again need more than 40 state senators, and we will never again need more than 80 assembly people. At that point, districts began to grow instead of the size of the legislature. Now, we had about 400,000 people in 1862 or so, and that meant that your vote was worth 1/400,000th of one. And now we have 40 million people, so your vote now is worth 0.001 of what it was before. And in fact, we have so many counties now that the apportionment districts at 1 per 1 million means that Los Angeles County has 11 state senators, and the 11 counties of Senate District 1 have one state senator. So if you look down the road toward the future, and you see that cities grow faster than rural areas, and that's partly because of illegal immigration, and remember the 14th Amendment says that all people will be counted for districting. Doesn't say all voters or all citizens. It says all people. So you have Senate districts in Los Angeles that may have 1 million people in them, but only half of them can vote. And yet you have Senate districts in Northern California where they have 1 million people, but probably 96% of them could vote. And that's the representative problem we find ourselves in.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to sue over.
Okay. Okay, Mark, we're going to sneak off to a break real quick. You can hold on. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, appreciate it. If you have questions for Mark, concerns, ideas, what have you, give us a call at 605-4567.
That California was never supposed to be just one state. Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
On Saturday, April 8th, Orchard Nutrition Center, in conjunction with Reading Holistic Health Specialist, presents another in a series of free seminars webcast live on Facebook and Livestream. Local area health experts Dr. June Stevens, Dominic Danino, and Cherie Davis will discuss how chronic inflammation affects your health. Limited reserve seating is available. For more information, visit Orchard Nutrition on Facebook or at orchardnutrition.com. Voted best of the North State for 11 consecutive years. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
It's termite swarm season again, when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
Project Healing Waters, dedicated to the physical and emotional rehabilitation of disabled veterans and active duty military through fly fishing and camaraderie. Help this nonprofit organization help those who bear emotional and physical scars from their service by attending the third annual benefit mixer Saturday, April 8th at the Reading Veterans Hall on Yuba Street. No tickets at the door. Get your advance tickets for just $20 by calling 351-1149. That's 351-1149 or call KCNR 1460 for details.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Well, we're moving on up, to the east side, to a deal that's upon us in the sky. Moving on up, to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen.
We're back. And Mark, you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, great. We're just looking at technical challenges here sometimes and want to make sure everybody's there and we're not just talking to ourselves, let alone out in the air there. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a caller on the line that has a question. So let's get the caller's question answered and we'll move on.
This is Beverly from Lassen County calling.
Good morning, Bev.
Good morning. Hi, Wynn and Mark. Oh. The question I have is last week you stated that Veterinary documents are just about finished. Have those been completed?
Okay, I didn't quite hear your question. Please repeat it.
She said that the attorney documents, last week you stated the attorney's documents were just about finished. Are they completed yet?
Well, we have the complaint is with a consultant attorney right now. And the consultant attorney is working for nothing. He's not charging us anything. And this guy has won four cases in front of the United States Supreme Court in open court. And he has the complaint, and he's asked for a little bit more time. And the reason he did that is we have, like, 27 causes of action. And this our consultant attorney thinks that that's way too much. So what he's doing right now is he's whittling the complaint down to half that size, if you will. And he's asked for more time. We're hoping they'll be finished by Monday of next week because we really need that complaint to get in front of the county board's supervisors who may want to join the lawsuit. And believe me, counties have a stake in this. I don't know about Lassen County, but I think I know enough about my county to be able to extrapolate here. Our county is being beset by the state. We're being hammered left and right. We have less and less say over our own resources from a county level. We're being taxed to death. Jerry Brown is stepping up with another $5.2 billion a year. And by the way, who pays more gas tax? People who live in rural areas and have to drive 20 miles to the store or people who live in the city and can walk to the store? So, but here's the bottom line, and I hate to even say that these are going to be done tomorrow. I'm wrong so often, but it is more important to do this right than to do it quickly. If we do this right, we're going to win, and especially after Judge Gorsuch is confirmed to the Supreme Court. We're going to win if we have a good complaint. So I just don't want to say I'm hoping by next week, but I don't know if I'm right. However, it's more important to do this right than it is to do it quickly.
Does that answer your question, Bev?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And the other question, on Sunday night, you made a statement there was another document that you needed to send to the counties. I didn't understand what that document was, but they wanted more clarification.
Well, there are several documents that they want. They want the complaint, the finished complaint, which they have every right to see what, you know, they need to know exactly what they're getting into. And then the other documents are the benchmarks. In other words, how can we prove that our vote's been diluted? How can we prove that we have a lack of representation? And what is the historical foundation? In other words, can we prove that at one point we had representation and now we don't? And those are the other documents they want to see. And we have those now. We've had those for a year probably, but there's no point in giving them one document at a time. We're going to give a package to every county that expresses interest in joining the lawsuit.
Okay, thank you very much. That answered my question.
All right, thank you, Bev. Good talking to you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, Mark. So as we're resuming through this process here, we're talking about the plaintiffs and so forth. We have plaintiffs as individuals, you know, like different people that have signed on to be plaintiffs for various reasons and justifiably so. And then we have government entities, either a county, city, or what have you. Is there anything else that's out there that is a – is there private organizations or anything like that that are part of the plaintiff list as well? Or what all do we have? There seems like there's a mix there, which is a good balance. You want to have a mix. But is there something else out there that – we need to be aware of or know that part of the plaintiff list?
Yeah, there are. The reason we need a diverse group of plaintiffs is to broaden our political support because, as you know, all courts are corrupt because the judge knows who signs his paycheck. So in order to win as people, as just regular people, would be almost impossible because courts ignore the people all the time. They have sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the State of California and the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Most of them, most attorneys, most courts, most judges have never even read the Constitution. So we're not relying on their integrity to find for us. We're not relying on their honor because they have no honor, and that's proven time and time again. In fact, it was proven again when a judge in Washington, D.C., said the President of the United States has no right to regulate illegal immigration. That's proof that the judge has never read the Constitution and couldn't care less what it says. He is a vehicle of his party, and that's the Democrat Party, and he will go to his grave defending his party and not the Constitution. That's the reality of the situation. That is the fight we're in, and anybody that doesn't agree with that, I respect your opinion, but do research because you're wrong. What we need to do is we need to find a way to bring enough weight politically to the courts that we can't be ignored. And that's what we're attempting to do right now. So the way to do that is to bring a county government to the table as a plaintiff, to bring individuals to the table as plaintiffs, to bring elected officials to the table as plaintiffs, to bring former elected officials, former state assembly people, which we have, to bring Native Americans into it. We have the Shasta Nation. We have members of the Pitt River Tribe who have said that they're not represented, and it's all true. We're trying to get the American Independent Party to sign on because they can't possibly win a seat in government when it takes a million votes or a million people to win a state senate election, or half a million people. They probably don't even have that many members. So we're trying to bring political parties into this as well to say that there is a monopoly of power in the state of California, and that monopoly is being used to subjugate people, and that's just the truth. Now, the way the court case works, we go to federal court. We apply to a federal magistrate by presenting our complaint. In other words, we have standing because we're either political parties, tribes, individuals, elected officials, individual voters. We have standing because we've been harmed. That gives us the standing to appeal to the court because we found no other remedy. We've tried other remedies. We tried declarations and petitions. We tried emails, phone calls, personal visits, so on and so forth. We got nowhere with the state legislature. And our harm is lack of representation and the effect that's had on our lives. Excuse me. And so if you have standing, if there has been harm, now you can present a case to the federal magistrate. Why don't we present that case in state court? Because it is the state that is causing the harm. and we know that all courts are corrupt. So to apply to a state court to resolve a state harm would be ridiculous because the judge is corrupt and he'd find against you. So we're going to apply to federal court that California is in violation of the United States Constitution by failing to provide a guaranteed form of government, a Republican form of government, as outlined in Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. Why do we have that standing? Because the California Constitution says that the federal Constitution is the highest law in the land. So the state of California admits that the federal Constitution is the law, and yet they have chosen to violate that very law. Now, when we apply in federal court to the magistrate has a tremendous amount of power. If he says, well, this case is just ridiculous and without merit, he can, if it's frivolous and without merit, he can just dismiss it. At that point, we would have to go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, everybody knows how that would turn out because that is a party court. They do not defend the Constitution of the United States. They defend the Democratic Party, period. Anyone that doubts that, do your research. That's just the way it is, folks. That's the truth. That's the reality on the ground. So we don't want to appeal to the United States Circuit Court for the Ninth District. Now, in order to avoid that, we have to have a magistrate who, under Title 28, if he has a voter dilution case and he finds the case to have merit, he has to apply to the chief magistrate for a three-judge panel. Once he applies for a three-judge panel, Title 28 also tells us that the primary jurisdiction for the appeal of any cause of action, civil or criminal, that requires a three-judge panel, primary appeal is to the United States Supreme Court. We must have that three-judge panel because that is a sure and certain way to avoid the Ninth Circuit, which is a party court. There's only one court in the land that we can at least hope and pray as United States citizens that's not party politics, and that's the United States Supreme Court. So that's where we want to end up for our appeal, and we will have to appeal. Why? Because if we win, the state of California will appeal, we'll end up in the Supreme Court. If the state of California wins, we will appeal, but we'll end up in the United States Supreme Court. We have to end up in the United States Supreme Court. If we do that, there is a high probability that we'll win our case.
Okay, again, so it's a Article 4, Section 3, state split separation, correct?
That's what we asked for initially.
Yes.
However, the court case will not give us that.
Right,
because
right.
There is no constitutional way to split a state in court. That's a legislative remedy. So here's what we hope for as Jeffersonians. Now, look, we have to recognize this lawsuit is being brought on behalf of all Californians. No Californian has adequate representation. They just don't. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you might like the way the state is being run, but you're still not represented on individual issues, even though your party owns the government, just like Stalinist Russia. In fact, there are elections in California that don't have any conservatives on them. It's like I've been to Russia many times. I mean, the ballot in Russia has two or three names on it. They're all part of the Communist Party. You know, they were, at least when it was communist. They're part of the Communist Party, and you vote for one of those three, whether you like them or not, because one of them is going to win.
You mean like
now, even in Russia now, under Vladimir Putin, the ballot has two or three names on it. They all belong to the same party. You'll vote for one of those three names, whether you like them or not. One of them is going to win.
Okay.
So that's kind of how this goes in California. I will look at the United States Senate election. You either voted for Kamala Harris or Challenger. They were both Democrats. They never campaigned anywhere except San Francisco and Los Angeles because that's where all the power is. So what you wanted in that election, nobody could care less about it. That's the state we're in. So we need that broad base of support because this lawsuit represents all Californians. Now, what's going to happen in court is they will either find for us against us. So let's imagine that they find for us and they say, yes, the state of California is in the wrong. You have no representation, and now we need to have a remedy. We need to have a result from this. No case is justicatable if there's no result. So the court has to find that there is a remedy for this. And what is the remedy for lack of representation? More representation. That's an easy one. Now, what form will that take? That's the tough part. The judge will probably not want to sit in charge of a complaint hearing where plaintiffs and defendants are on opposite sides of the table screaming at each other about representation. They will probably order a settlement conference where the plaintiffs and the defendants find the remedy. So who will be in the room when that remedy is found? Only the plaintiffs. Only the people who have joined the case. The state of Jefferson is well represented in this case. Will the rest of California choose to be represented in the case? We don't know, but so far they don't seem to care. So when we get to the settlement part of this, the counties and people and entities of the state of Jefferson will pretty much be the only ones in the room, with the possible exception of the American Independent Party. What is it that we want? Well, we all want different things. Glenn County, for example, they think that one representative for every 30,000 and each county gets a state senator is a good remedy. Personally, as a plaintiff, I think it should be what the founders of the state of California did, and that's one representative for every 2,500 people and one state senator for each county. Everybody is going to say something different. However, we need the defendants to abandon the position that 40 state senators and 80 state assembly people are enough. Once they abandon that position, the door is wide open and we drive a truck through it. Now here's what I hope will happen as a resident of the state of Jefferson, that we will get one state assembly person for every 2,500 or 3,000, and every county will have a state senator, because what that will create is a situation in Sacramento where they have 13 or 14,000 assembly people. Now, California will say, we can't do that. It's not convenient for us as government to support that many representatives. And we, in turn, will say, that is not a valid defense. It is not valid for the government that we, the people, created to say it is inconvenient to represent us. And so the other remedy we will present to them is state split. If you engineer a legislation to approve state split, then we will simply leave the scene, drop our action or our part of the action, and you can be free to negotiate with the one or two plaintiffs that are left, and we will be free to form a state where everyone has adequate representation. That's what I hope will happen. Now, the American Independent Party might want something different, but that will be for them to argue, not us.
Wow. A lot going on. Hey, Mark, we have to sneak off to a break. Can you hold over?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll be back in just a few moments. If you have a question, call 605-4567.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief.
Sneak in when he goes in to take a breath.
There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody up in his world.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
New York Times bestselling author and TV host Chef Jeff Henderson will be at Shasta College Thursday, April 6th. Jeff Henderson was born in South Central L.A., where by the age of 16, he had already begun a life of crime. In 1996, he was arrested and charged with intent to distribute illegal narcotics. He would spend the next decade in a state prison, which would ultimately change his life. After developing a friendship with a fellow inmate who mentored him, Jeff discovered his passion for cooking. Without any formal instruction, Jeff went on to become the first African-American executive chef at the Bellagio, a New York Times bestselling author and TV host. Come hear Chef Jeff as he shares the life lessons he's gained on his journey from drug dealer to TV celebrity chef and nationally acclaimed speaker. Chef Jeff will be on the Shasta College Tehama campus April 6th at 10 a.m. to present and answer questions, and the Shasta College main campus at 2 p.m. This event is free and open to the public.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Okay, we're back. Hey, Mark, you still there?
Yeah, still here, Wynn.
Okay, great. Hey, we have a caller on the line. Hey, Nick, are you there?
I am here.
Good morning, Nick. What can we do for you?
Well, you know, I'm constantly pumping up the state of Jefferson, and I get around some of these know-it-alls, and they stick their chest out and tell me, I know why it will never happen. It's because of the water. And I know Mark is proficient in the water. Could you explain to these know-it-alls why water is not going to be an issue, or if it is, how we're going to handle it, please?
Well, the state of California had handed the keys to the castle, so to speak, with the Central Valley Water Project over to the feds a long time ago. And water rights are water rights. I mean, you know, as a rancher and a water right owner, supposedly, which in the state of California, by gosh, is a moving target, because California Fish and Wildlife is insinuating themselves into every aspect of our life in Siskiyou County, as well as the State Water Board, and in Lassen and Modoc, it's NEQA, and the North State Water Quality Control Board, and California EPA, and the Governor's Office, and yeah, heck, you name it. Everybody wants to steal your property in the state of California, even though Article 1, Section 1 says you have certain inalienable rights and property is among them. But anyway, getting back to what you're saying, I would not want anyone to come to this state or the state of Jefferson or any other state and change my water right. In fact, I wouldn't allow it. I would fight over that. And I have the right to defend my property under the California Constitution, the United States Constitution, and my God-given right. So water rights are not really an issue, and it's a deflection. Now, I did have a Los Angeles state senator say to me once, the only reason you want Jefferson is you want our water. So the city of Los Angeles considers the Pitt River their water. They consider the Sacramento River their water, even though those rivers are 500 to 900 miles away from that city. However, this fight is not about water rights. Now, if we get our own state, a great many things may be possible. I don't want to comment on what those things are. That would take another hour. But, you know, if we prevail, a great many things are possible. However, we're not fighting for representation because of water. We're fighting for representation because our communities are in decline. I mean, I sat in front of my board of supervisors, and my opening statement was, I would like any one of you to name one metric that's up, one metric that's trending for the positive. Unemployment, drug abuse, spousal abuse, murder, violent crime, robbery, homelessness, home ownership, high school graduation rates, literacy, tax cuts, business profitability, you name one of those things or anything you can think of that's improving in my county, and I'll get up and leave this room right now and tell you you're doing a great job, and that's the last you'll hear of me. And not a one of them had one word to say. So here's the deal, folks. Our communities are in decline. I think that's obvious even to a blind person. We are losing control of our lives. We're losing control of our property. We're losing control of our children, our homes, our education system, the amount of criminals and criminal aliens that are in our midst. We're losing control of everything that we hold dear and everything that we believe in and everything that makes worth a life worth living in this state. We've lost control of it. What will you do about it? What's your stance on that? Where do you want to take this? How will you help us fight? There are about 10 of us that are doing most of this, and we need help. We need help from about 100 or 200,000 people to get this done. What's your life worth to you? What are your children worth to you? What's your home worth to you? What are your water rights worth to you? Because you're going to lose those, too, in the state of California. And believe me, they're afraid that Jefferson will change water rights. Well, California is in court every single day trying to take your water away from you, and they're winning. They are winning this fight, folks. Look at your town. Look at the number of boarded-up buildings downtown in any community in Northern California and tell me whether we're winning or losing. If you're tired of it, help us. Do something. We're all tired. We're all getting to be pretty broke. We need some help from people out there who are tired of the tyranny, tired of the oppression, and are willing to put up a fight to defend their way of life. That's what we need. And that's what I'm talking about.
So, Nick, does that kind of answer your question?
He dropped off the line.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm assuming it does. Perfect, Mark. I'm glad you put that out there. Now, with that, we're talking about all the stuff that comes together. There are a lot of pieces to this giant puzzle. And a lot of people think that, you know, when you talk, like you talk to him, like Nick was inferring, you know, people have an idea of what's going to happen or not going to happen. And people say, you know, okay, when we get State of Jefferson, well, for them to understand that, you've laid it out very well on what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it. And the timeline is changing on us and has changed on us multiple times only because, you're right, we want to do it correctly. We want to do it right the first time. We don't want to keep playing the game of, you know, hurry and wait. However, sometimes you have to do that in the situation like this so that you don't do it the wrong way. You don't do something incorrectly. You don't shoot yourself in the foot. And we want people to understand that, but also, more than anything, what you've been saying the whole time, support us. You need to help us. You need to get out there and help us by doing the grassroots things. Attend the meetings in your local counties. Doesn't matter what county you're in. We have people that are supporting us financially in donating, sending donations from Florida, from Maine, from New Zealand. We have people sending us money for the state of Jefferson. You know, granted, it's not a whole lot, but it adds up. It's adding up. And so we need more people to do that. So there are several different ways to do that. You can send it to our go on to PayPal, and you can look up Jefferson there and pay that way. You can so you go to PayPal.com and do it that way. You can go to GoFundMe and look up State of Jefferson on GoFundMe and donate that way. You can also mail cashier's check, money and checks and cash, which I've received all three, through the P.O. box. We have State of Jefferson Formation, or if you want to write out your check to SOJ Formation, and the P.O. box 751, Palocedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O, 96073. Unfortunately, we're still in California, but at some point it'll say Jefferson. But again, it's State of Jefferson Formation, P.O. box 751, Palocedro, 96073. And so what we're doing is we're gleaning the money so we can pay the attorney fees, and not just the fees that the attorneys incur. It's for their salaries, but it's also paying for the hard costs of the court case. I mean, the documentation alone and the paperwork and then the research that they have to pay for, they're paying professionals that do a lot of good research to help us get this case moving forward. We have to pay for that. And the my understanding, according to, by talking to the attorneys, is that they're willing to do this till the very end. And my thought is, and like with others that just shared with me, and Red just came in and said, hey, no matter what the results of the court case is, we will not stop until we are free. And that's the way we have to look at it. We're not going to stop. You know, if we get defeated in our first court case, we appeal. We go to the next one. And we just keep going until we win. And so we have to win. It's a fight that we're all in for. And if you're not in for it for the long haul, you need to be. And we need to step off to our last break here real quick, and then we'll be back in just a moment.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now my girl, you're so young and pretty, one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is through. I watch my daddy in bed attired, watch his hair been a turning gray. He's been working and slaving his life away. Yeah. We've been working hard, babe.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Lawlessness. The cause of lawlessness is the absence of godly moral values. Godly moral values are absolute and unchangeable. This absence of godly morals is the result of the deliberate killing of God in the hearts and minds of people, beginning with our children. This is done by corrupt leaders so that they are the ones who decide what is morally right or wrong. Look around you. What you see is the result of this kind of moral decay. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
All right, we're back, and we have a very short window of time here. We have a caller. Maria, you have a question for Mark.
Yes. I had a strange thought that he's saying that we need more representatives for every 2,500 people. Well, that's great. how do we plan to pay all these people these enormous salaries and benefits that they get?
Mark, did you hear that question?
Yeah, I certainly did. And here's the answer to that. The state of California will not be able to do it. They won't be able to do it. We're hoping they won't be able to do it. So what is the next best remedy in order to create a situation where people have representation because they deserve it? I mean, it is not a proper defense to say it is inconvenient or financially troubling for the government to supply adequate representation to the people who created the government. That's not a defense. So one of two things is going to have to happen. Either they will have to pay these people significantly less, which would be tremendous in my opinion. In fact, in New Hampshire and Vermont, they get a stipend for their hamburger and they don't get any pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be great in California. Suck the money out of the politics.
Yeah.
Quit paying them. What about if you serve, then you can have a small stipend. I'm fine with that. You have to live and you have to drive your car and you have to eat. But you should be a representative because you value your patriotic duty as a citizen.
Thank you. The other
thing that could happen is that California says, well, we can't do this because we can't pay these salaries. We can't pay these tremendous benefits. We can't keep CalPERS and CalSTRS afloat and pay every public employee's union the future of our state and our children and our education system. We can't do that. Okay, well, we have another remedy. Split the state because we can do it. And if you can't do it, split the state, allow us to separate, and then you can keep robbing people until the cows come home, and we will be free to create a government that represents the people in it.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark.